Last week, Mark and Andrea spoke on a few different things. They stood up here together and preached together, and it was awesome. And in amongst that, they talked about repenting and how repent means to change your mind and to think differently. And they also talked about coming to him because he will give you rest. Can we throw Matthew 11:28, the NLT version, up on the screen, please? Thank you. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So that's one of the scriptures they referred to. And the whole time I was sitting there listening, going, yes, yes, yes. And there's just like this thing within me rising up, going, I need to do a follow-on message from this, because this is coming to God and finding rest is something that I am constantly in a state of learning, and peace, finding peace. It's a constant state of learning. I don't know if all of you guys find it easy to find rest and to find peace. That's awesome if you do, but I'm just preaching from my life journey and my story. So let's read the message version of that. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. So when we refer back to that first one, heavy burdens. Jesus says, come to me, all you who carry heavy burdens. So that's any area of your life, any aspect. If we have heavy burdens, he wants to give us rest. And then later on, he says, you will find rest for your souls. When I think about that, I think of peace. So there's rest and there's peace. And rest for my soul is like an overwhelming peace. Rest and peace, to me, are hugely connected. They're very hard to separate, because to have true rest, you have to experience peace to be able to allow yourself to rest. And it's like this backwards and forwards thing that goes on. I don't know about you, but, you know, there are times that are actually quite hard to find peace. So, for instance, when you walk into the bathroom and you're not sure if your sister is hiding behind the shower curtain to jump out and give you a fright, you're kind of walking with trepidation. There's an element of no peace going on in your spirit in those moments. Or when you have a new blue toothbrush and your sister has an older blue toothbrush, and you hope that your sister will actually use her older one and not your new one, and you're like, peace. Do I have peace about this? I don't know. Or something really serious like, are there going to be enough coffee beans when I wake up in the morning to have a coffee? There's all kinds of things. Those are just silly things, but maybe true. those are silly things, but there are so many things that can steal our peace, that can rob our peace, that can take away our peace and our ability to rest. And I just want to talk about some of that this morning. Lawrence and I have been on a little bit of a journey, as you may know. Throughout this journey with his health in the last little while, there have been moments when I have just had an overwhelming sense of peace that didn't actually make sense. Like, for those of you who don't know, he had multiple blood clots in his lung. It could have actually killed him. I'm just, praise God that he's here with us, and I know that what he's been through, God's using, because God turns all things for good. And in amongst that, at all the highs and lows of those moments, I had an overarching sense of peace. And I attribute that to the people that we reached out to pray. And I know that God's Spirit was with us walking through it. He was a very present help in time of trouble. It was very, very real. I experienced an incredible reality of his peace in the midst of that. There were times when I maybe didn't have the same level of peace, and in my natural, I freaked out a little bit. And those moments, I had to apply, like what Mark and Andrea were talking about last week, which is why I want to talk about a continuation. And that's where I had to repent. I had to change my mind because I know that God's peace is over me. He's covering me. But then there's times when I would worry or I was afraid. And there were times in those moments when I was worried or afraid and God helped. There was one particular moment, a friend returned something that they'd borrowed. They walked in at a very low point and they were they were there and able to pray for Lawrence at that time, and that meant the world to me because I didn't have anything in myself at that point. But God knew, and his timing is awesome. Yeah. oh no. It's turning off. Cancel.
Oh dear.
Nah, I'm all good. Right. So, as I was saying, in those moments, like if I was getting stressed, if I was speaking out of stress rather than out of peace or rest, I actually had to pause. And there was one moment that I remember going, blah, and then I was like, hold on. And I stopped. I removed myself. I just dug into God's peace and his rest and what those things looked like. So I repented. I changed my mind. I changed where I was at, and I chose to focus on him. You know, we've been singing about Jesus. We've been singing about he's the one. And the reality, it's easy to, I think, sing sometimes, but when the rubber meets the road and you're walking through an element of hell in your current life, actually choosing to go, God, I'm going to repent of where I might be allowing my humanness to speak, and I'm going to align instead with what you say. And you say you're with me. You say you're with Lawrence. You say your presence is always here. You're the one that can give me incredible peace in the midst of this situation. And things like that. So I just had to change my mind and align my thoughts and actions with him instead of with what I wanted or my humanness was pushing towards because of our natural inclination. So let's look at the NLT version of that verse, Matthew 11 again. In there, when I read that verse, so that's, thank you. There's different aspects of that verse. And I think, thanks. I'll just, here we go. There's two different things when I read that verse that I think about. I think about the fact that there's things in that verse that are my responsibility, and there's things in that verse that are his responsibility. And I think it's very easy for us to say, yes, come to Jesus, he's got everything sorted, and then just expect everything to fall into place for us. But it doesn't work like that. because we actually have responsibility in our Christian walk to... it's like the working out of our salvation. It's the daily outworking, the choosing to change. So in that scripture, what's our responsibility? Our responsibility is to come. come to the altar like we were singing before. You know, our responsibility is to come to him. The next thing is he says, take my yoke. So our responsibility is to partner with him. It's actually to say, yep, I'm going to choose to partner with you in this moment instead of stand alone. Another thing that is our responsibility is he says, let me teach you. So I'm like, do I want to learn? I think it's easy for us to say, you know, Jesus says, let me teach you. And then we just kind of floss over that and we just, or gloss over that, not floss, gloss. we gloss over that and we don't think about the fact that if he says, let me teach you, that we actually have to say, I have to want to learn. I have to be teachable. Am I stuck? Am I content in an unhelpful kind of way? Am I being a bit proud, like, I'm good? But actually, he's like, but I've got more for you. I've got better for you. Jesus loves me the way I am, but he came to show me the best way to live. And if I'm willing to partner with him and learn from him, then he's going to teach me new things that help me live an even better life. So he's given me brains and abilities, and he doesn't want me to refuse to learn. I guess what I'm saying is we need to think about our attitude. What's our attitude when it comes to Jesus and him saying, let me teach you? Are we willing to be taught? Learning can be scary. It's a reality. Some things are actually really scary to learn, but he's not scary. And I think it's important for us to remember that. When we go to him and we partner with him and we learn from him, he's not scary. He's gentle and humble, and this verse tells us that. We don't need to fear, and it's really an amazing thing to remember that. And just taking a deep breath and saying, okay, Jesus, I'm going to come to you, I'm going to partner with you, and I'm going to learn from you. So he's not asking us to do it by ourselves. It's like a three-legged race. He's saying, yeah, come on, partner with me, let's do this together. And he doesn't expect us to come first necessarily. He just expects us to run the race well. When we look at the message version, can we just flick the message version of those verses up on the screen for me? The next bit, the message is tricky because you can't, there we go, thank you. In that part, so it's Matthew 11, the message version uses the words, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And as I read that and I think about that, my thoughts immediately go to David. David, who was going to fight Goliath, and he went out and he got on all his armor, and then he was like, whoa, because it was too big, it was too heavy, it was ill-fitting. And he couldn't do it. And so instead, he was like, nah, took it off. And he picked up his sling. And that is how he fought Goliath. He fought Goliath knowing that the armor was ill-fitting and heavy, and it didn't work for him. And Jesus does that for us. He's like, I don't give you heavy or ill-fitting stuff. I give you something that works for you, and I ask you to partner with me in that way. I ask you to partner with me as who you are, and he wants us to be confident in him that he has made us to function a certain way. So I guess that comes down to finding our identity. finding who we are in him and going, okay, he doesn't put anything ill-fitting or heavy on me. Therefore, if I'm finding this ill-fitting or heavy, I can put that down. I can rest and wait on him, and I can say, okay, I'm going to just pick up whatever I believe he's asked me to pick up, and I'm going to work from that place. So it's working from a place of rest. It's work acting out of a place of rest instead of acting out of a place of expectation or whatever else might be there. If there is that kind of stuff going on, the heavy and the ill-fitting, that's the moment to just take a step back and say, what about this is heavy and ill-fitting? What do I need to take off? Jesus, help me to partner with you so that I can pick up the right thing and move forward in the confidence that you've made me and the person that you've made me to be. So, what fits me well, Jesus, essentially is a great question to ask. Yesterday, while I was doing jobs and then doing some prep and then doing other things, I kept having this song running through my head. And it's a song, I think I've heard Bree play it at home, the I Am Who You Say I Am by Hillsong. And it just was running through my head that I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. I am who you say I am. Those words, just kept running through my head again and again and again. And if we are going to be who he says we are, then we need to learn to rest in him wholly and completely. Yeah. So going back to Matthew 11, his responsibility is that when we come, he'll be present. He doesn't say, come. Okay, you're good. Bye-bye. He says, come. And then he stays with us and he works with us. His responsibility is that he will give us rest. And we can lean into that because he will give us rest. We can know that, yes, I can have faith. He's promised that he'll give me rest. Therefore, I'm going to work with that. I'm going to trust that. I'm going to surrender to that. He will partner with me. He doesn't say, like I said before, he doesn't just abandon us. He says, come, now I'm going to work with you. I'm going to partner with you. He will teach us. And again, that links into our responsibility. Are we going to be good learners? He is the best teacher. And I think that's one of the best things and most important things that we can remember is that if I'm going to run this three-legged race of life with anybody, then Jesus is the best one to do it with because he is gentle. Like that verse tells us, he is gentle. He is humble. If I'm proud, it's very difficult for me to be a good learner. But even if I'm proud and my teacher is humble, then that means he is willing to work with me as I learn. And he's willing to gently prod or help me come to the point where I can go, oh, yeah, okay, I hadn't thought about it like that, and actually allow him to teach. He's gentle. He doesn't force us. He doesn't say, you must learn this. That's not the way he works. And if you have that picture of God, then go to him and say, God, what lie am I believing? Like Mark and Andrea were talking about last week. Is there a lie I'm believing? Is that an experience that I've then, that attribute I've put on the character of God, but that's not actually a real character of God? If he's humble and gentle, then we can trust him, we can surrender to him, and we can walk in rhythm with him. And that brings a sense of rest and peace because we can pick up the sling that we've been given. We can know who we are and we can walk forward in that way. Some other verses I just want to quickly touch on about rest and peace. When I think about changing my mind, repenting, and rest and peace, to me they interconnect because of these two scriptures. So Colossians 3, verses 1 to 2. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. And the other verse is Philippians 4, verse 8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. There's a lot of ands in here. They really needed to work on their grammar. And pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Or the Amplified Version says, finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and confirmed by God's word, whatever is pure and wholesome, whatever is lovely and brings peace, whatever is admirable and of good repute, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think continually on these things, center your mind on them, and implant them in your heart. I love visual scriptures because I'm a visual person. They just make me so happy. whatever is lovely and brings peace, think on these. So if repenting is to change the way we think, then this is a process that helps us to bring about repentance within ourselves. We can change the way we think and it will bring peace. Imagine if we took these two scriptures, especially Philippians 4 verse 8, and applied it to every aspect of our lives, all the realms of our lives that there are, our relationships, our work life, our home life, our social life, our self life, our internal talk. Imagine if we started to do that every day. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise. Fix your thoughts on those things. It's a big ask. And within ourselves, that might be incredibly hard to do. But with Jesus, we can lean into him and he can help us if we ask him. The peace that comes when we fix our thoughts on those things is incredibly real. There's studies that have been done about gratitude and the impact that has on your life. And if you choose to be grateful and express and live in a form of gratitude about things and focus on the things we can be grateful for, the happiness in your life actually is scientifically proven to increase, which is mind-blowing. And I am not minimizing people's experiences because I know life doesn't always go easy. It's not always smooth. Sometimes it's very difficult to find things that we can be grateful for. But this verse just talks about the fact that if we're finding things that are true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, worthy of praise, those things help us to not only repent, change our minds, because by doing that we're changing our minds, but those things also help us to have rest and peace. Because instead of striving, stressing, worrying, walking in anxiousness, we are focusing on those things and we're saying, God, I thank you for and choosing something to thank him for, despite the other things that are going on. It's not to say that those things aren't happening. It's just instead to shift our focus to who God is. If you can't find anything else, if there is nothing in your life that you can be thankful for, if there's nothing in your life you can be thankful for, we can always look to God and thank him for his goodness. If I'm finding it difficult to center myself, then I just look at the sky. I look at creation and I say, God, because God's creation is the thing that brought me to know him. If I look at creation, I can say, God, you're the creator of all things. And what's going on here right now might be quite crappy, but I have you in my life. So it's, again, choosing to repent, to change our mind, and to choose peace and rest, because peace and rest come when we change our minds. I know it's not an instant fix. These things take a lot of work, they take a lot of time, and we actually have to be deliberate. I just want to share a really quick story. I was talking to somebody, it was probably a year or two ago now, time flies, and they were telling me about how they used to be a person that they would go to church and they felt like nobody ever talked to them. And they were like, nobody ever talks to me. And then they said, but then they realized that actually they could be the person that talks to people. So that was a moment of not only bringing peace and rest to their minds because they changed the way they were thinking, but it actually had an action and an outworking that went with it and brought about change and progress in that person's life. And that person is welcoming, they're cheerful, they're beautiful to be around. And that's just an incredible shift from being a person that used to think, oh, nobody ever talks to me, to I'm going to welcome people. And that becomes, again, a conscious decision. If you spoke to that person, there would have been a lot of deliberateness in the way they chose to act. There would have been deliberateness in... deliberateness? they would have deliberately gone, I'm going to do this. And they actually made a shift. And it had to be conscious and they had to work on it and it didn't come easy. But they changed the way that they outworked. Because of a change of attitude, they repented and their inner self found peace and rest because no longer were they going, oh, nobody ever talks to me. And instead, they became the person that connects with others. That's just, it's mind-blowing. It's a beautiful change and it's such a vivid change. At the end of last week's message, Mark and Andrea just said, What lie are we believing? Let's replace that with truth. This week, I think it was, I was in my office. I was doing some tidying up and I moved a bag and it was a cockroach. It was a really big one. I hate cockroaches so much. You ask my family, if there's anything I really hate, it's cockroaches. And you know, in that moment, you see this massive cockroach and it's in your hand and you're like, oh! And I'm like, okay, and just shook it off the bag. I stomped on it and I was like, huh. And I walked off and got a tissue and scraped it up off the floor and off my shoe. And I don't know. The reason I hate them so much is because they breed and they're very hard to kill. And they just breed in the background without you knowing that they're there. And then suddenly they come out and they're like giant. And when you find a giant one, you're like, how many more are there? And that's the way I think anyway. But I thought about that in relation to taking a lie, replacing it with the truth. Because If we allow the lie to hang around, it's going to breed. But if we take that lie and we give it the flick and then we stomp on it, then it gives us room to repent, to grow, to change our minds. It gives God room to say, yes, I have more for you than this. It's a chance to change, to grow, to walk in peace and rest. Let's go stomp on our cockroaches this week. Let's be people that take the lie and actually address the lie, replace the lie with some truth, and then walk forward in the truth that we've been given. Because then, when we've replaced that lie with truth, we can walk forward in peace and rest. There are so many more things that I could say. Probably needed to do another week. But please, this week, go out, think about your thought processes. Ask Jesus, as you partner with him, is there anything that you want me to stomp on? Is there any thought pattern that I actually need to address? Is there something that I can do that will increase my peace and rest? Because I know that you're here with me, partnering with me. We can come to him because he is there. He will be there. He will continue to work with us. Amen. Father, thank you this week and every day as we go out. May we remember to partner with you, to come to you, to say, yes, Jesus, I choose to walk with you. And God, give me the wisdom to see those lies as they come up in my life. Help me to address them. Help me to stomp on them. And help me to move forward in rest and peace. Thank you, God. Amen.